Estates and land. Freehold estates. When an individual owns real property, the individual is said to have a freehold estate in that property. Ownership of property includes certain rights or privileges. In addition to the rights of ownership, benefits or amenities are often connected to the ownership of property. Because ownership rights do not expire, the freehold estate is of indeterminate length. People often discuss the bundle of rights associated with ownership. These rights include such things as the right to possess or occupy and use the property, the right to exclude others, the right to sell, lease, mortgage, give away, or to abandon property, the right to pass property to heirs and devisees, or the right to refuse to do any of these things. Fee simple absolute or fee simple is considered the best type of ownership as it places the least number of limitations on the owner. This ownership is said to be indefeasible, meaning it cannot be defeated unless someone has a greater legal claim. Fee simple ownership is always in a state of inheritance. Recall that in the previous session, we discussed the governmental rights in land, police power, eminent domain, taxation, and escheat. These rights limit individuals' rights. All property is subject to these governmental rights. However, property owners also have other limitations on ownership rights, called encumbrances. Fee simple defeasible is ownership with conditions or terms, which, if violated, could cause the ownership interest to be defeated or terminated. Fee simple defeasible can be determinable or conditioned subsequent. If it is determinable, ownership could be voided if a condition is not met or if a requirement is violated. In this case, title would revert or go back to the former owner or grantor. Although this type of fee is definitely ownership, it has some serious limitations. An example of this would be property donated to a church with the condition that it must be used for education. If the church decided to place a parking lot in the space, rather than a school, it could lose the property altogether. Ownership would revert to the former owner, or his or her heirs. This ownership can also be called qualified fee or qualified defeasible fee. The third type of freehold estate is the life estate. A life estate is ownership for the duration of someone's life. The owner is called the life tenant. He or she has all the rights, privileges, duties, and responsibilities of a fee simple owner, except the ability to will the estate to his or her heirs. The life estate may be based on the life of the life tenant. This is the most common type. It may also be based on the life of another, which is referred to as a life estate pour autre vie. At the end of the life estate, the property ownership goes back to the original grantor, who has held a reversionary interest, or to a third party who is called a remainder man. The remainder man gets a fee simple interest in the property. If a life estate is set up so that the property goes back to the original owner at the end of the life estate, this is called a life estate with reversion. A life tenant can sell what he or she owns, ownership for the duration of his or her life, but is unlikely to find a buyer willing to purchase under those terms. The buyer's ownership would end with the death of the original life tenant without a refund of the purchase price. The lease of a life estate is also possible, but the lease would be terminated by the death of the original life tenant. Statutory estates. Statutory estates are created by statute or law. In many states, recognized statutory estates include community property, homestead, dower and courtesy, tenancy by the entirety, community property and common law states. The primary difference between a community property state and a common law state is the property rights possessed by married persons. The general presumption in a community property state is that all of the assets acquired with community funds during a marriage are owned jointly by husband and wife. The actual implementation of community property law varies widely from state to state. Texas is one of 9 states that adhere to the concept of community property. Community property is a concept of Spanish law, wherein marriage is regarded as a partnership rather than as husband and wife becoming one, as according to English law. Under community property laws, most property acquired during the marriage is owned equally by both spouses. it cannot be conveyed or sold without the signature of both parties. Community property states include Arizona, California, Idaho, Louisiana, Nevada, New Mexico, Texas, Washington, Wisconsin. Alaska has a community property election that may be made in writing. The remaining states operate under English common law, which generally means that property acquired during a marriage is separate property. Each owns what he or she earns. Again, laws implementing common law vary widely between the states. Most states have implemented safeguards to protect the interests of a spouse who may not have been a significant wage earner during the marriage and who might be left destitute in the event of death or divorce. Property owned by a married person that is not community property is called separate property. Property acquired before marriage is separate, as is inherited property and property purchased with inherited funds. Any profit or income from separate property is considered community property. In contrast, an increase in the value of separate property is not community property. The proceeds from the sale of separate property are separate cash. General rules: property and income, community or separate. Community property is property that a married couple acquires during their marriage while domiciled, living together in a community property state. This generally includes the part of property bought with community property funds, if part was bought with community funds, and part with separate funds. That both spouses agreed to convert from separate to community property. That cannot be identified as separate property. Separate property is property that was owned separately before a marriage. Money earned while living in a non-community property state. Property received as a gift or inherited separately during a marriage. Property bought with separate funds or exchanged for separate property during a marriage. Property that both spouses agreed to convert from community to separate property through an agreement valid under state law. The part of property bought with separate funds, if part was bought with community funds, and part with separate funds. Community income is income from community property, salaries, wages, or pay for services of either spouse or both during their marriage while living in a community property state. Real estate that is treated as community property under the laws of the state where the property is located. Separate income is income from separate property belonging to the spouse who owns the property. Note that in Idaho, Louisiana, Texas, and Wisconsin, income from most separate property is community income. Homestead. Homestead rights exist throughout the United States to varying degrees. While they differ from state to state, the concept of homestead rights is that the primary residence of an individual, and in some cases, the personal property of an individual, will be exempt from the claims of certain creditors. While homestead rights protect the individual or family from the claims of most creditors in all cases, the homestead can be lost under several circumstances. In all states, the homestead can be foreclosed for failure to pay a mortgage used either to purchase a property or to refinance the property. Property taxes, also known as ad valorem taxes, must always be paid, and the failure to do so can result in the forced sale of the homestead. In some states, the failure to pay other liens related to improvements made to the homestead is foreclosable. In many cases, owner association fees, such as homeowners association fees or association fees related to a condominium, can result in the foreclosure of the homestead. In some states, homestead protection is automatic. Other states require some form of declaration to obtain homestead protection on a property. Homestead protection can be limited, with caps that set an upper limit on value. In many cases, states limit homestead protection to an upper limit on the amount of land that is protected. The central idea behind homestead laws is that society does not benefit when an individual or a family loses their home and means of earning a living, thereby becoming wards of the state. Texas has homestead laws that are unique in a number of ways compared to other states. Texas homestead rights are embodied in the Constitution of the State of Texas and therefore can only be changed by the voters in a constitutional amendment. Additionally, there is no upper limit on the value of a Texas homestead. In Texas, an urban homestead is limited to no more than 10 acres of land. A rural homestead can be up to 100 acres in size for a single individual, or up to 200 acres in size for a married couple. The 10 acres allowed in an urban homestead must be contiguous. In contrast, the rural homestead can consist of several tracts of land that are not contiguous up to the 100 or 200 acre limitation. No special filing is required. Homestead protection is automatic and cannot be waived by the homeowner. In the case of a married couple, the signature of both spouses is required to sell or encumber the homestead. Therefore, Texas license holders must be aware of possible community property rights and homestead rights when obtaining the signatures of sellers on a listing agreement or contract. The law prevents the forced sale of the homestead for payment of all debts, with five exceptions: non-payment of property taxes, non-payment of a mortgage lien, non-payment of mechanics and materialman's lien, non-payment of property owner association fees or dues, non-payment of a home equity loan, dower and courtesy. Dower and courtesy rights still exist in some states. Generally, they are being phased out or abolished in most cases. The basis of these is English law. Where they exist, they are statutory and therefore automatic. Dower is the interest a wife has in the property of her husband. During his lifetime, dower rights are inchoate or incomplete. They are more along the line of expectations. They become complete at his death. Courtesy is the interest a husband has in the property of his wife. Courtesy rights follow the same rules as dower rights. Tenancy by the entirety. In some states, ownership by a husband and wife is called tenancy by the entirety, which is basically joint tenancy created between two married individuals. When one dies, the other immediately becomes an owner in severalty. Tenancy by the entirety is not recognized in Texas. In states where it is allowed, property held in this manner cannot be disposed of or conveyed without the signature of both parties. In addition, property held in this manner is not subject to the claims of a creditor, unless the creditor is the creditor of both parties. Equitable estates. A freehold owner will often grant certain rights in his estate to others. These rights or privileges create an interest that is less than ownership or possession, but nonetheless exists, and as such, is called an equitable estate. The most common of these are liens and easements. A lien is a claim against property to secure payment for a debt. A lien is an encumbrance. A lien can be created by agreement of the parties, voluntary, as in a mortgage lien, or through the operation of law, involuntary or statutory, as in judgment liens. A mortgage becomes a lien when it is recorded. The mortgage, which is a security, represents the lender's interest in the property. Another type of equitable estate is created when an easement exists. An easement gives one the right to use or pass over another's property for a specific purpose. There are two categories of easements. An easement in gross belongs to a person or corporation and does not belong to the land. The most common example of this is a utility easement. An easement appurtenant is a right for the benefit of a piece of land. It runs with the land and passes to new owners when the land is sold. The most common use of this easement is for ingress and egress, entering and exiting one's property. In the diagram, property A has an easement against it that is used to allow the owners of property B to access their property. A is considered the servient estate because it serves the needs of property B. B is considered the dominant estate because it dominates A. In many cases, the dominant estate would be landlocked without the easement. In other words, there would be no way to access the property legally. This easement may have come into existence in one of several ways. Easements may be created by grant. The easement is given specifically by one party to the other. A sold lot B and granted the easement in the deed. Reservation. The seller, in granting property to a buyer, reserves an easement in the deed. B sold lot A and reserved the right to cross over A in the deed. Implied grant. In selling lot B, A. Did not actually grant the easement in writing, but implied in word or action that access to property B would be by easement. Prescription. Continuous use of the land over time without the permission of the owner establishes the right to use the land. An encroachment is the unauthorized intrusion of another's property onto an adjoining property. An encroachment that is allowed to remain can eventually acquire the right to be there. Prescription may also be called limitation. Necessity. The courts may award an easement to a property owner who has no legal access to his or her land, usually in the case of landlocked property. Condemnation. The government, under its power of eminent domain, takes an easement. Easements can be terminated by merger. If the two properties become one, the easement is terminated. Release. A written agreement can release the servient estate from the easement against it. For example, a property owner might want to negotiate the termination of an easement. If the parties are willing, a release may be recorded, terminating the easement. Abandonment. If an easement is no longer necessary and the dominant estate shows by its actions its intention to abandon the easement, it can be terminated. Death. If an easement was a personally held right to come onto a property for a specific reason, sometimes called a license, the death of the holder would terminate the easement. An example would be an owner giving a friend the right to hunt on a property. Contracts can create an equitable estate. For example, a prospective buyer with a signed purchase contract prior to closing on the property has an equitable interest in the property. Another contract that creates an equitable interest is an option contract. An option gives a buyer the right to purchase a property within a preset period at a preset price. The buyer is under no obligation to purchase, but if the buyer decides to buy, the seller must sell to him. During the term of the option, the seller cannot sell to another. Because this agreement can only be enforced against the seller, we say an option contract lacks mutuality. It is a unilateral contract.